Amen. Would y'all do me a favor? Would y'all just stand with me one more time and just take a minute and give the Lord a praise today. Amen. Would y'all just clap your hands for Jesus today? Isn't God so good? Amen. Oh, yeah. I love it. I think the Bible teaches us that, you know, we're not to get excited that we can cast out devils. We're not to get excited that we can heal the sick. But we get excited because our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Are you glad Jesus came to this earth and died for us on the cross? Amen. Amen. Father, we love your word. We love you. We thank you, God, for your anointing in this place today. We ask that you would move, God, in a powerful way. And we thank you and praise you for your wonderful presence in this place. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everyone said amen and amen. Be seated just for a moment. Amen. So glad you're here. And it's great to be back here at Cross Creek. Great to see all a lot of familiar faces, some not so familiar, but how many are thankful for your pastors today? Amen. Won't you give God a hand for your pastors? Does anybody get jealous that you cannot talk like Pastor Joe? I get so jealous every time I hear him talk. I'm like, man, God, why couldn't I have been Jamaican? You know, even a white Jamaican. You know what I mean? You gotta love. You know, you just got to love the voice. You know, it. It's part of his anointing, right? It's a part of his heritage. And I love this man. How many know he's got the love of Jesus in him? Amen. And I've noticed that since the day that I met him. He loves you just like Jesus loves you. And I so love him and appreciate his wonderful wife and their church and all of you. And so glad to be here. And I'm not going to give you a Christmas message today. I've endeavored in my life. There's a whole lot of people that can out-preach me. There's a whole lot of people that can out-prophesy me. There's a whole lot of people that can out-sing me. But there'll never be a person in this world that will ever be able to out-pursue God better than me. And that's my life's passion. You can have a lot of badges, but I just want to go after God. And I want to say some things this morning. There's so many people that have so many different views of the earth right now. I really believe that we are in the greatest season of warfare in the world's history. And it's not going to be a doom and gloom message, so you don't have to worry about that either. But I really feel like sometimes as Christians, we don't understand the severity of what we're really going through right now. And we think that it's we think that it's because the world is crazy, and it is. And we oftentimes think it's maybe something that we've done. But I figured out that the longer that I live and the more that I serve God, the more that Satan hates me and the more that he hates you. And so you have to understand that you're not necessarily doing something wrong, but on the contrary, you're doing something right. Amen. I'm not gonna crank you like an old Model T today. Be verbal with me today, okay? I don't want to have to give you CPR early. And whatever you do, don't get offended early, because there's gonna be lots of opportunities as we go along. Okay? So I don't care if you like me. I don't care if you love me. I don't care if you hate me. You didn't call me. You didn't hire me. You can't fire me. So we're all in good shape. Okay, so you don't have to worry about that with me. But I do want everybody in this room and out there listening to me, I have a word from God for you today. And I want you to really hear me, because it's really in me right now. And I'm going to share with you a familiar passage of Scripture. And when I do that, I got another Scripture we're going to go to kind of in the middle. But I got four points today that I believe some of them are going to be simplistic, some of them are going to be revelatory, but I believe we can all apply them to our lives. Amen. So if you have your Bibles this morning, you open them to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I want to share with you something that I feel is really important for right now, especially as Christians and this culture that we're in. All right? And If you know the Bible at all, you've read this story probably a billion times, so it should be familiar to you, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. And it came to pass that when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day that the Amalekites invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives therein, and they slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them and went on their way. So David and his men came into the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. It's a bad day when you can't cry anymore, right? And David and his two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. I mean, you ain't got to worry about the world sometimes. Church people will kill you. I better move on. Somebody say amen. David was greatly distressed, the people stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, and every man of his sons and daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said, Abiathar the priest, the Amalekite son, I pray thee, bring me hither an ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail you will recover all. Amen. Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that you help us articulate the anointing, God, in this room. I pray that you move, God, upon your people, and God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive and understand. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen and amen. I'm asking for 25 minutes, okay? Quick 25 minutes. I heard these words when I was reading this passage, and they just jumped up out of my spirit. The devil can't burn you twice. The devil can't burn you twice. Now, I got to looking at this passage, and I want to give you a little history, and then I want to get right into this story. If you look at where David is right now, you'll see that he is in between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. So he starts out in Bethlehem. God says, I've got a future promise for you in Jerusalem. I need you to travel there. I need you to get there, because what's going to happen there is going to change everything in your life. You're going to bring the glory back to the house of God. Everything is going to change for your generation and your culture. And the assignment that I have for you there is going to literally explode us into a new dimension of faith and power. We're fixing to change regimes, and everything is going to change. Somewhere between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, there is a place called Ziklag. And Ziklag was not meant to be a permanent spot. It was meant to be a spot that he could just kind of refresh. But what ends up being a crazy thing is he ends up in this place for 14 months. He doesn't get there for just a month or 30 days or 2 months. So on his way between his word and his destiny, he gets stuck in Ziklag. Or in other words, I like to call it the in-between. Anybody ever got a promise from God, a word from God? Maybe God gave you a promise about your grandchildren, or maybe God gave you a promise about your children, or maybe God gave you a promise about Cross Creek breaking out in revival. Maybe God gave you a promise about your sons and your daughters being saved, your prodigals coming home. And somewhere between the prophetic word and your seeing that prophetic word come to pass, you get stuck in the in-between. Anybody ever been there? You know God's promised you. You know God. You know what God's told you. You know that he's given you a word. It's been confirmed 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 30 times. And here 10 years later, come on, you're stuck in the in-between. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're helping me today. Huh? It's amazing to me that that God's people know the promises that they've got. But somewhere between the day they get the promise and the moment they're supposed to arrive there, somewhere they get stuck in Ziklag. And what happens is we get our eyes on what's happening in the moment that we forget about the promise.
Can I prophesy to you a minute? Your past is not your prophecy, but your future is. God is not talking to you about yesterday. God's talking about tomorrow. God is not talking about last year. God's talking about 3 months from now. God's not talking about 6 years ago. God's talking about in the next 30 days, I'm about to change your world. I'm about to do everything that you've been believing me for, and every weapon that's formed against you is about to pack up and go back to hell where it came from. I've come to declare to somebody this morning, you're about to step out of the in-between, and you're about to step in to your promise. You ought to take the next 30 seconds and help me praise the Lord and let the devil know, I'm not staying here anymore. I'm not staying in this place anymore. Is anybody glad that you got a promise? Here. I don't make a Catholic shout and do three Hail Marys right there. Oh man, I feel it now. I feel it now. I'm starting to come. I'm starting to get in it now. Right? So here's the thing I found out. What do you do when you have a word and you see the end in sight, but you were in Ziklag? What do you do when you know that you've got a promise, but you're just trying to get there, but you're stuck in burnt ashes, everything you have is gone, and you know that the future looks bright, but it's not feeling very good at the moment? Here's the first thing I want to tell you today. You've got to keep waiting. Oh, come on, listen to me. Let patience have her perfect work. You're going to have to keep waiting. You're going to have to keep waiting until your sons and daughters come home. You're going to have to keep waiting until that healing manifests. You're going to have to keep waiting, and you're going to have to keep praising God no matter what comes. We've got some people in this generation that know how to quit and know how to quit easy. But I believe there's some John Waynes coming back to the body of Christ, and they're going to be a whole lot tougher than the enemy thinks they are. Can I just prophesy to you a minute? Jesus is not a ballerina. Jesus is not soft. Jesus is not weak. As a matter of fact, there's a whole lot more in John Wayne and Jesus than there is Elton John. He's a whole lot tougher than you think he is. He's stronger than the enemy has ever been in your life. And I dare to tell somebody, if it looks crazy, keep on waiting, because any moment Jesus is about to walk in the room. Jesus is about to get involved in your situation. Jesus, somebody say Jesus. Somebody shout his name. Somebody let the devil know, every demon trembles at that name. Sickness flees at that name. Do we got some people in this room that are glad you know Jesus and he's worth waiting on? Oh man, he's worth waiting on. Woo! He's worth waiting on. He's worth waiting on. You got to keep waiting. You got to keep waiting. In the valley, you keep waiting. On the mountain, you keep waiting. In the trenches, you keep waiting. In the tears, you keep waiting. In the doubts, you keep waiting. In the weariness, you keep waiting. Whatever it is you find yourself in, you keep waiting, because Jesus will show up. Jesus will come through, and Jesus will give you the promise you've been waiting for. Here's the second thing. Stop getting stuck in Ziklag. Stop getting used to Ziklag. You know what I found out about God's people? And don't get mad at me right now. Just hear me out. I think we get so used to the smoke, we don't know any other smell. We get so used to the ash, the smoke, the burn, the fire, that we don't think there's anything else good. Have you ever noticed that? We almost get so used to pain, we don't know how to live without it. Come on, listen to what I'm saying. And then what happens is, if we're not careful, we become victims. Instead of victors. We become whiners instead of winners. We become doubters instead of shouters. We become pouters instead of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that don't you dare camp out in Ziklag anymore? I want to ask, is there any praisers in this room that can stand to your feet and take the next 15 seconds and give God a praise and let the devil know, I'm not staying in Ziklag. I'm not staying in this place anymore, but I'm taking a step. Somebody step. Somebody step. I'm getting out of this place. I'm getting out of Ziklag. I'm not staying here anymore. I'm tired of smelling burnt smoke. Get an attitude with you, somebody. I don't know why you got to get all excited. It's funny. It's funny, all you people that sit here and look at me like I'm a dead man, huh? Because rigor mortis is already sitting. You don't mind to scream at a Cardinal game. You don't mind to scream at a Lebanon football game on a Friday night. You don't mind to shout for your son and daughter running touchdowns. If you can shout for that, you might as well be able to shout for Jesus Christ and let the devil know, I am not staying in Ziklag another day in my life. Here's the next thing. Man, you've got to encourage yourself. I found out in this life, there are more people that are against you than there are for you. Huh? It's so true. I got people just giving me nasty looks right now. Huh? Oh, yeah, it's okay. I'm used to it. It's all right. Huh? People are jealous because I'm so excited about God. And they can't be this excited. I can't help you. Huh? I can't help you. My passion is my passion. I preached in 47 churches this last year. Huh? I preached on the road 327 days. And believe you me, my wife is a whole lot prettier than some church people. But yet I still go because I'm passionate about Him. Right? And what I've noticed is there is nothing in this world that will encourage you like a praise will encourage you. Huh? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? When you got to encourage yourself in the Lord, and then everybody around you thinks you're completely insane. Why in the world are you so excited, Brother Sean? There's no reason that you should even be praising God right now. Everything around your world is falling apart and collapsing, and yet here you are praising God and shouting that He's still good. I've never been sick a day in my life. And the last 2 years have been the most miserable days of my life. I've never had a health problem in all my life. One day I just woke up and every part of my body was burning. Felt like somebody was just stabbing me with pins and needles. I never canceled one meeting. I kept plugging on. I kept pressing in. I kept showing up. But I kept encouraging myself on the Lord. I kept saying things like this. It's going to be all right. No matter what the devil brings, it's going to be all right. I'm coming out of this in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Sean, I know you don't feel like it, but just lift up your hands right now because God has been good to you. I know it sounds like you're never going to get out of this, but I wish, listen, I dare. Can I ask about 20 praisers to let the devil know it might be on fire, everything might be up in smoke, but my God is still good. Where are some praisers in this room that will let God know He is for me, He is not against me? Yes. I understand. You gotta feel it. You gotta get like Jeremiah. It's like fire shut up in my bones. He's so good to me. I know there's some battles, but He's still good to me. I know people are crazy, but He's still good to me. I know the devil's attacking you, but He's still good to you. I know you're weary, but He's still good to you. I know you feel helpless, but He's still good to you. I know you feel like it's not gonna turn around, but God is still good to you. He is still favorable to you. He is an awesome God. I wish we had some people in this room that would let the devil know. God, are you hearing what I'm saying today? Huh? You guys look like you're on hospice this morning. Huh? We got to, see, y'all, this is how some of y'all look on Monday mornings. This is what I'm talking about. You know. Pretty good. What'd you do yesterday? I went to church. Where'd you go to church at? Cross Creek. Boy, that's where I'm going next week. Because of that face right there. Huh? That's where I'm going. See, we ought to be a bunch of Holy Ghost crack addicts. You know what I'm talking about? We're like showing up to work. What up, everybody? Good morning. It's Monday. Glad to be alive. Any day above ground is a good day because God has been good to me. Now, we got some folk in this room that'll let the devil hear you. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. And I am coming out of this. this. All right, I'm trying to hurry. Last but not least, stop sitting in the ashes. Turn with me to the book of Nahum, chapter 1. Listen to me. It is so easy in this culture to give up when it's quitting. I'm a huge sports fan, and football is my game. And I used to really love college football, and they're making it depressing for me right now. The reason they're making it depressing for me is because they have this thing now called the transfer portal. And if they can't get a shot on the field at the school that they've been recruited to, the moment it becomes tough for them, they can transfer out and find somewhere that they can get on the field immediately. And the one thing that I found out in life, sometimes things don't come easy. And there are things in life that you just have to work through. You just have to press into. You just have to walk out until God does exactly what He's asking and what He's told you He's going to do. And what it is this culture has trained us to be quitters. Because now everybody gets a trophy. I'm so glad I had a dad that never let me win. Huh? He never let me win one game. And then my children never got to win one game. You know why? Because I love smearing them and letting them know everybody doesn't get a good job badge. You gotta earn it. Huh? You gotta earn it. Sometimes, now listen to me. Understand. I'm not saying with Jesus you have to earn it. What I am saying to you is there's some trials that you're going to have to learn. You can't just sit in the ash. You got to get up. You got to get up because I found out that the devil can't burn me twice. He can't burn Ziklag down twice. Y'all ain't catching me today. He cannot burn Ziklag two times. He got it once. He's not going to get it a second time. Now I'm going to give you a scripture for it. Nahum chapter 1 and verse number 9. What do you imagine against the Lord? One translation says like this. What in the world do you think conspiring against God is actually going to do for you? Huh? And then he says, he will make an utter end, and affliction shall not rise upon you the second time. Oh my goodness gracious, right there. How many know the devil can't do it twice? How many know he burned Ziklag once, but he ain't going to get it twice? That's why you're going to make it through this next season better than you've ever made it before. Because he gave you your best shot a year and a half ago, but you're still here. You still got life. You still got breath. You still got power in your body. You are going to make it because the devil cannot kill you the second time. Understand. I just hear this in my spirit. Cross Creek, I feel like telling you a prophetic word right now. Your warfare season is coming to an end. Huh? Your warfare season is coming to an end. Your warfare season is coming to an end. Listen, I don't know about anybody else. I don't mind a good warfare once in a while, but I want to enjoy this life a little. I want to enjoy Christianity. I want to enjoy being a son. And some of us in this room are so busy fighting, we never get to enjoy being a son or a daughter of God. I love what he told him, and I love what he told him in 2 Chronicles. He said, "For the battle is not yours, but it's God's." Listen, I've got news for you. Stop fighting battles. You were never anointed to fight in the first place. That's why you're wore out. That's why people are going crazy right now. That's why we got more Christians on antidepressant medicine than any other Christian society in history. I'm not saying that it's not real. I'm not saying that there's not real pain and there's not real frustrations. I'm not saying that there's not real illness and there's not real sickness. But I understand there's got to be a something. It's got to flip. It's like a switch that's got to flip in your head. I can't sit here in these ashes anymore. I've got to get up. Man, I wish I had something. I wish I had like a little basket or something. But could you imagine David sitting there in the ashes. He's just sitting there. He's just moaning and moping and complaining. Everybody's wanting to kill him. His family and friends are all surrounding him, ready to stone him. And you know what I think he does? I think he grabs them ashes and he says, not today, not today. He said, can I pursue them? Can I overtake them? And God answers. He said, not only will you pursue them, not only will you overtake them, but I'm going to let you restore everything that the devil stole. I love how God gives him more than he asked for. God gives him more than he asked for. You know what he says? He says, not only will you pursue them, not only will I let you overtake them, he said, but I'm going to let you get back every single thing the devil put his hands on in this last season. Huh? The last few years, I don't know about for you, but for me, it's been a lot of seasons of loss. I've lost friends because of COVID. I've lost pastors because of sickness and illness. There are constant days where it seems like all you hear about is loss. Anybody tired of losing? I'm tired of losing. It hurts. It's painful. And every time I lose something, it's another grieving process. Huh? And I got news for you. I'm tired of grieving. I'm tired of grieving. Well, you know, and some of you may have perfect lives. Do me a favor. Write a book. I'd love to read it and buy it. I'll buy the first 100 copies and give it away to somebody. Because I'm going to tell you, I have figured out the longer that I'm saved, the more complicated this life gets. The longer that I serve God, the more I realize it has nothing to do with accolades and everything to do with pursuit. And what I see Christians and I see the people of God in the world, not just here, everywhere, is people do what they want to do. They pursue what they want. Can I tell you right now, baseball games and traveling ball clubs have done more damage to the 21st century church than Instagram ever will. Give me some slick, that's some skin right there. Help me preach, Pastor. Help me preach. You know it's true. Because we've taught our children everything else is more important than Jesus. And I found out baseball will not keep them. Soccer will not keep them. Wrestling will not keep them. Sports will not keep them. You know to keep them? A mama that taught them how to pray. A father that taught them how to worship the Lord. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? Men and women that taught our children how to pay tithe to the Most High God. You can't have the windows of heaven open until you're a tither. See, if God was in control of everything, everybody in this room would be a tither. It's okay, you can pay me later, Pastor. It saddens me to see people that God loves so much go through so much. And I think he asks the question, is this what I died for? To watch you be miserable and unhappy your whole adult Christian lives? You know, he's got to be thinking at a time or two. I love what Pastor Caroline said, but, you know, I know God feels. I know that our God is compassionate. I know that he watches what we go through. But when do we just grab our boots, pull them up, get our shoulders back and get some dignity and get out of the ash and let the devil know, not today. Not today. How do you start? Oh God, I just want to thank you. Where do you start? You just start with salvation. God, I want to thank you that God, when I was unlovable, you loved me first. I want to thank you that when the devil wanted me, you chose me over than what the come on. Are you hearing what I? What? Are y'all alive in this room today? do you not get that excited about salvation? How do you not? I mean, can you imagine? Man, I'm telling you, I got COVID in 2020. I'm not going to say who gave it to me. Sean Dickerson. But anyway, just kidding, bro. Just kidding. Wherever you are, I'm just kidding. I had like 7 people around me that had COVID. I probably got it from Walmart because I didn't obey anything, but whatever. But here's the deal. I have come to an epiphany. I got COVID, and I had 9 cancellations from March to July, preaching full-time. This is what I do. Right? If I'm not preaching somewhere, there's not finances flowing. Everything was shut down. And then I got depressed. See, I got right in between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Huh? I'm like, oh God. And then everything's burning down. Then I look at my wife one day and I say, you know what? We're going to have to believe God everything we've been preaching for the last 15 years. Huh? Come on, that'll wake you up right there. Huh? Come on, and God just started. But I got depressed. Anybody get depressed? I know most prophets will tell you their victories. This one, he'll tell you his battles and his victories. I got depressed. And then I started giving the God the what for. I thought you said, God. Anybody ever done that? Come on, you got your finger, you're like, come on, Jesus. You know, come on, don't lie. Don't lie because you can't be as truthful as I am. But I'm like, God, I thought you said. You said I'd be preaching to the nations. I can't even go to 7-Eleven. Anybody ever been there? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm scared. I'm frustrated. I'm concerned. I don't know what to do. And I'm the only one sick in my house. So Kristen and the kids, when they decide to go to Fugitive Beach, they leave me with my 102 fever and my nasty sickness all by myself. I got down to 180 pounds. I was skin and bone, and there she was going to Fugitive Beach. You talk about a double depression, huh? I'm sick, and now all my kids and family. I mean, how you got to love a wife like that, right? That'll leave you when you're dying and go to Fugitive Beach. And then I'm like, wait a minute, Job. I'm in my affliction. And I got this little bitty prayer room. This is my house. Just where I kind of sit sometimes and think. And all of a sudden, I got an epiphany. And I go in that little office. I kind of sit there a minute. And I'm kind of moping. And I said, wait a minute. And I get up and I open the door and I look down the hallway to make sure nobody's there. Huh? It's just one of them moments. Huh? And I got this little finger. Huh? And I said, listen here. If you thought that I preached before I got COVID, you wait till we come out of this. I'm going to preach more than I've ever preached. I'm going to preach louder than I've ever preached. I'm not going to go one place and not tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And then I said, devil, guess what's greater than that? My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whether I'm here or whether I'm there, I am still with Jesus. Is anybody glad in this room that whether you're here or whether you're there, you are still with Jesus? I'm with him. You're with him. That means no matter where we are. See, we gotta get out of this concept that Jesus is coming and going, going and coming. First John says he abides. Huh? Woo! I don't need a worship leader to get me there. He's already there. Come on, somebody. I don't need a worship service to get me there. He's living right there. Aren't you glad that he lives and indwells within you and I? He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's right there. Anybody ready to get up out of the ash today? You got two choices. You can lay there and die, or you can fight. Huh? Fight for every moment of joy. Fight for every moment of peace. Fight for every moment of thankfulness. Because one or two things is going to happen. You're going to sit there and wallow in the ash. Or you're going to get up. You're going to fight for every good moment of your life. Huh? Man, if I'm going out, I'm going out with a bang. Huh? I'm going out. I'm going to be the greatest partying son on this earth. And I ain't got a drink either because I got the new wine. Come on, somebody. Anybody got the new wine? I'm drunk every day on him. He's so good. He's so good. When he calls your name, doesn't it feel so good? When he tells you that he loves you, doesn't it feel so good? I know we don't have to feel him, but I like to feel him. Oh, I love to feel him. I love it. I love it when I'm hurting and he just says my name. He just says my name. I know you're in the ash, son, but don't forget about Bethlehem. I know Bethlehem's just another chapter in your life. He said, but don't just get used to where you come from. Don't get used to where you are, but realize there is a Jerusalem that is waiting on you. There is a promise that is waiting on you. Come on, I don't know about anybody else, but I feel like prophesying. There are prodigals that you have been praying for in this place. They are going to return in this next season in Jesus' name. There I sit. Oh, man. The Holy Ghost. There are people that have been praying for sick family members. I believe the blood of Jesus is reaching out to them right here, right now, touching them today, and healing will be their experience. Anybody ready to leave Ziklag today? Anybody in this room ready to leave Ziklag? Raise your hand. I am ready to leave the ash. I am ready to leave the smoke and the stuff, and I'm ready to go on to Jerusalem. Anybody ready for that? I'm ready for that. Would you stand with me all over this house? I know there's heartache. I know there's pain. I know there's sadness. I know there's frustration. But it can't be worse than that day. It can't be worse than Ziklag that day. It can't be. Their whole village was on fire. Every friend and family member had been taken. And then if nothing else, his best friends decide they want to kill him. That's a bad day. That's a horrible day. But David said, Abathar, I need something that can separate me from the pain. I need something that can separate me from everyone else in this room. He said, bring me the garment that I praise with. Huh? Bring me the one significant piece in my life that separates me from everybody else. I can't prove it. I wondered if that day, Pastor Joe, is when he wrote the song. Praise for the spirit of heaviness. I don't know a whole lot, but I know this. When Job loses everything, man, he snaps for about 30 seconds. He went crazy. He shaves his head, strips down naked, and he tells his friends and family, naked I've come into this world, and naked I will go out. He just lost it. Anybody ever just lost it? But the Bible says he fell down on his knees and began to give God praise. And this is the next part that I love right here. He said he never cursed God foolishly with his lips. It's hard to curse something when you're always praising it. Huh? That'll make a Baptist shout. It is hard. It is hard to complain and gripe when all you're doing is praising. It's hard to sit in the ash when all you can do is say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then the devil's like, thank him for what? I'm alive. I know stuff burnt down, but I made it. I know I went through some weary seasons, but I made it. I know the devil tried to kill me, but I made it. I know I shouldn't be. Listen to what Hezekiah writes. Man, he gets a word from a prophet. He said, we're getting ready to kill you. You're going to die. You've messed up. He said, you better get your house in order. And then he goes back and guess what he tells God? He said, God, you understand that only the dead and only the living people cannot praise you. He said, dead people cannot lift their hands. Dead people cannot praise your name. He said, but the living can praise you. You're above ground. You're breathing. Then you ought to give him praise. Because that means today You don't get to get judged for everything bad in your life the last 25 years. You've got another day to say, God, thank you. I get to make it right. Thank you. I'm not staying in the ash. I'm picking it up. Come on. Some of y'all need to have a funeral today. Ziklag is buried, and Jerusalem is where I'm going. Come on, anybody ready to bury Ziklag today? Anybody ready to bury Ziklag today? Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. How many of you in this room would say, Brother Sean, that's me. I want to come to this place where I am leaving Ziklag behind. Wave at me. Wave at me. That's me. I want to leave Ziklag behind. If that's you, I want you to come down and join me at the front, please. Come on, quickly. I feel the Holy Ghost moving right now. He's all over you, buddy. He's all over you, buddy. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Come on, can we just pray? Reach your hands this way. Your brothers and sisters are in need. I want you to look at me, Melissa. I'm going to be right back. I want you to look at me. I am telling you that there are angels surrounding your situation right now. The devil is doing everything he can to kill you and almost let you suffocate and die. But the Lord said that you're one praise away from your miracle. You're one praise away from God opening up the heavens and bringing down the anointing and the oil. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. The anointing and the oil. The anointing and the oil. The anointing and the oil. Come on, just lift your hands and just begin to praise him right now. Just lift your hands and begin to magnify him right now. Ziklag is you're leaving Ziklag and you're stepping in to a brand new season. You're stepping in to a brand new season. You're stepping into a brand new season. Healing and oil. Healing and oil. Healing and oil. Healing and oil. He remando robo sende remanda rabasa. He's catching every tear. He's catching every tear. He's catching every tear. Remanda rabasande, remanda rabasando, remando robo sende, remanda rabasata, remando ro. You're leaving Ziklag behind. You're leaving Ziklag behind. You're leaving Ziklag behind. Hallelujah! 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 You're leaving Ziklag behind. You're leaving. Don't worry about where people are. Just thank God where they're going. Just thank God where they're going. Just thank God where they're going.
Battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see victory. I'm gonna see a victory. Whoa, I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for good. Turn it for good.
Sang this part of the song earlier in terms of how common let us adore him. We said we'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever in the good times, in the bad times. I'm not going to sit down in the ashes. I'm going to stand up and praise the Lord. Whether I'm sick or whether I'm well, no matter what, I'm going to praise his name forever. Father, we thank you this morning that, Lord, as we make that type of declaration, that type of commitment to you, that, Father, your spirit arises inside of us. Your spirit comes and envelops us. Lord, that garment of praise comes over us. Lord, we thank you that as we declare the goodness for God, that Father, the enemy covers his ears and leaves us alone. Father, we thank you, oh God, as we would lift our voices to declare how great you are, that Father, depression and confusion has to go. And so, Lord, I thank you this morning for your presence. I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you this morning for the work you're doing in our hearts. And Lord, we decree and we declare that we are your children and that we will praise your name forever. No matter what happens, Lord, that is our decision. That's our commitment to praise your name forever. That, Lord, we will not sit in the ashes and gripe and complain and pout. But, Father, instead we're going to arise. And through our praises, oh God, you will lead us out. You lead us to our destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Through our praises, oh God, you cause us to encourage ourselves as we look back at the things that you have done in our lives. Lord, we thank you through our praises, mighty God, you'll cause hope to arise again. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so, Lord, I pray for your presence, oh God, your fresh anointing, your fresh grace to be upon your children this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's just sing that part of that song again. We'll praise your name forever as a part of our commitment to the Lord.
We'll praise your name forever. 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 We'll praise your name. Yes, Lord. We'll praise your name forever. Christ the Lord.
And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, and we declare, oh God, that no plan of the enemy against us shall prosper. But, Lord, we pull down every plan and every plot that's against us. And, Father, we declare that you will lead us through, that you are leading us through. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.